Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Brothers and sisters, now it is time for us to recite the five mindfulness trainings. Please calm your mind and listen clearly to each of the recitation. Good evening, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends. Welcome to our meditation on Friday. Today is July the 6th, 2012. There was a young novice who came and asked his teacher, can you please tell me what is the purpose of the Bodhidharma travel all the way from India to China? What is his purpose? Do you understand? Do you know who is Bodhidharma? Bodhidharma is the 28th patriarch, count from after the Buddha passed away, and there was the first monk, the first eldest monk named Mahakasipa. He is the one who replaced the Buddha to look after the Sangha. And since Mahakasipa, we have the other one until Bodhidharma. So Bodhidharma is the 28th one. He traveled all the way from south of India to China in the 3rd century. And you do not know who he was, and if you go to the back hall, you will see there was a big picture of his, the one who walking on the water with one branch, carry one sandal at the back hall. His name, Bodhidharma, very famous monk. And people believe that he is the one who teach martial art for Shaolin Temple in China. But actually, he did not teach any martial art. He only taught the monks some of the ways how to keep them in a good shape, in a good health. But because the many martial arts were learned in China, and they want every martial arts must be a famous one, a very taught by a famous teacher. So they say that Bodhidharma taught martial art in Shaolin, and now you see a lot of places where they present martial art, and they call Shaolin Kung Fu. When they met the monks on the street, and their first question they will ask, do you know Kung Fu? And I remember when I was in high school, somebody also asked me, Do you know Kung Fu? And of course I say, yes, I do. And they will say, wow, this young monk, he know Kung Fu, so you better not touch him. And you know that in Buddhism, we also have the word Kung Fu. But Kung Fu in Buddhist practice is not martial art. Kung Fu means you put your effort into your daily routine. You put your heart into each of your work. It's called Kung Fu. For example, every day you know your schedule. You must wake up at 5 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock you have meditation. You do that wholeheartedly. No blaming. No angry. No suffer. You do with your happiness. You do with your heart. And when you do everything completely with your heart, it's called Kung Fu. So Kung Fu, this kind of Kung Fu is even better than the martial art. Like example, you know, this stick to invite the bell. I just asked one of the lady to fix it again, because we need to change the fabric after a while using it. It can get dirty. The thread can break. So we need to fix. And if you look closely to this stick, and you see this lady use the fabric and make this one very Kung Fu, very skillful. And she put all her effort, all her heart. So even sewing a piece of fabric on this stick to invite the bell, but when you do with your heart, it's called Kung Fu. In Vietnamese, when you want to present, or you want to honor, you want to appreciate someone's work, you always say that, wow, your work is so Kung Fu. Kung Fu means wholeheartedly. All your effort. Again, so when Bodhidharma traveled all the way from South India to China, and this young monk asked his teacher, what is the purpose of his trip that he traveled from India to China? And the master said, there's too many people here. Hard to answer. Wait until I meet you in another place. Secret and quiet. He could not stand. So he saw his teacher turn around and walked another way, he followed. Until they both stopped at the garden. Very quiet. He come closer to his teacher and say, now, master, teacher, nobody here. Can you please tell me, this is a quiet place, you can tell me the secret, what is Bodhidharma's purpose? The master hold his hand and brought him very close to the bamboo grove close in the garden. And he pointed at one of the branch. Do you see this bamboo's branch? This is a long branch, isn't it? He said, yes, this is a long branch. He pointed another branch. This is a short branch, isn't it? Are they both beautiful? He did not answer the question, but he answered in that way. And what do you understand? What do you learn from that kind of answer? In our daily life, sometimes we need to live simple and recognize every single thing. Because if we expect everything have to be perfect, with a purpose, and sometimes we get lost. For example, you follow your schedule as usual. Every Friday you come here just to sit, relax, and meditate, and share the Buddhist learning together. No purpose. You have nothing too much worry when you come here. What you do, how to deal with Thai when you meet Thai, etc. Simple and nice and gentle. So even a short branch, a long branch, they have its own beauty. We don't have to expect the short is beautiful more than the long one. The long one is more beautiful than the short one. Every single thing can be beauty and happy. So the story about Bodhidharma coming here is too long. Long, long time ago. Even you know the purpose, what's the point? So he doesn't want his teacher, his student, to get lost in so many ideas of practice and forgot the present moment. Do you remember the story I told about there was two people who came and visit the monk, and he said, "Have you been here before?" And the first guest said, "Oh, this is my first time." "Oh, really? Please enjoy your tea." He turned to the second guest. He asked, "Have you been here before?" The second guest said, "Oh, I've been here before." "Oh, really? Please enjoy your tea." Your tea. Doesn't matter. First time or second time. Or many times. The point is, you both are here with me. You both need to enjoy the tea. So the Buddha said, we live in the present moment. We appreciate the present moment. The past already passed. The future is not yet come. Of course, sometimes the past nourishes us, but sometimes nothing. Every time when we think about the past, it only suffers us more. And we know that it's not a healthy past. So we don't have to bring it back, but actually cannot do anything. Tu in Vietnamese, tu means practice. T-U, very simple. T-U called tu. We are tu now. Tu means practice. Anything haven't not yet cultivate, we try our best to make it possible. To. We already have the capacity to practice. The capacity of calm, of relax, of happiness. But sometimes we forgot because of so many other things around. Every day, every morning, before we go out, we spend at least half an hour to 1 hour to stand in front of the mirror to reflect whether our face look like, how is our face look like. We clean our face, we do some makeup to make our face look nice and beauty. We comb our hair, we use many ways, different kind of hairspray, different kind of gel, depends on what kind of hair we have, and even we need to choose the right shampoo. We were willing to spend money, time and effort for all kind of that without any prejudice, without any suffer. But why don't we do the same exactly like that? Do with something very normal. The same as we comb our hair, we make up on our face, etc. We're willing to sit and wait at some of the famous restaurants until they have a space so we come in and enjoy the meal. Just for the meal, but willing to sit there for half an hour, even more, for the empty seat. But how come we did not put our practice like that, in that way? Sometimes we always bargain. What, how much time I have? Wow, 1 day to practice is quite long. Coming to Friday, sometime right at 8 o'clock, we need to leave right away. We cannot even stay for more, 5 or 10 more minutes. But we're willing to spend time for other things. There is nothing wrong. The reason why I brought this up, because we need to reflect and see what we most spend for and what we did not put effort and spend time for. Sometimes I talk to the kids, young people. I said, we need both kind of food to nourish our daily life. Physical, you taking food, edible food, to nourish your body. So you need to take some teachings, some practice in order to nourish your spirit, your spiritual, your mentally. We both need two kinds of food every day. We will, you know, we will put something like jewelries to make us look nice. According to the spiritual practice, there are some other things that we should cultivate. This kind of practice will ornament on not on the body, but also deeply in our mind. Once this kind of thing have cultivated deeply in us, we also look nice. Last week I gave a talk in Ontario, and I remember one day I told the community, all of you need to spend a lot of money to looking for new fashion all the time. But as a monk, this is our only fashion. But still new, over 2,000 years. You need to comb your hair, you need to cut your hair in different style, but we only have one style. Never old. If both of you, if some of you walk with Thai, with the monks on the street, they will pay attention to the monks more than because we're so special. We don't have to worry the hairstyle, the fashion, but we always look fashion and look new. So how do we cultivate? The very first one we need to cultivate is our understanding. In Buddhism, we call wisdom, insight. Because without understanding, it's very hard for us to live with love, with happiness, because we always blame, we always blaming, we always attach, we always expect, but we have no accept, we have no open our heart. Because we attach a lot, that's why we suffer. Why we attach? Why we blaming? Because we don't understand the situation. We don't understand the conditions, why this happened. So once we have the deep understanding in us, a lot of knobs will open in our heart. A lot of problems can be solved because of the insight. Do not think we don't have this. We do have it, as long as we cultivate, as long as we know how to bring this kind of insight into our daily life, and make it become the light to shine to each of the condition, each of the situation. One day, there was a young monk who walked with his teacher on the street, and suddenly the teacher pulled out from the mud a piece of rock, and the young student asked the teacher, why you pick a rock from the mud? It's dirty. The teacher did not say anything. He walked directly to the pond close there, and he tried to wash the rock. And soon the rock washed The young monk surprised. That is a special rock, a jade. And the teacher gave this jade to the scripture, and they made a beautiful statue of the Buddha. And the teacher said, your wisdom, your insight is like this jade. If you do not know how to recognize it, you do not know how to appreciate it, it's like a jade deep in the mud. But soon we take it from the mud, we wash it, and we make it just a piece of rock. Nobody cares about that rock. But the important is we know how to make this rock into, turn this rock into jade, into the Buddha statue. It's like diamond. If we have no polish for the diamond, and the diamond will not be valuable, just a rock, just a piece of something, but nothing called diamond. So according to the story, we will know that we have the capacity. For example, before you come to the meditation, you never think you're able to cross your legs and sit on the floor for an hour. But after many days you're doing this, you can sit quietly, you can sit, you know, nothing wrong, because you have success. You have done your best. You have done. You cultivate this kind of sitting every day, every week. Everything needs to be trained. That's why we call the mindfulness training. It's hard to do. For example, we have the habit. Our habit is whenever we hungry, we just grab something to eat. And sometimes because of our addiction, we never care what kind of food. Is this a healthy one or not healthy? But with cultivating, with understanding, we will know what kind of food is good for the body and what kind of food is not good for the body. Last month, I met a friend in the state, and he told me his life is nothing rather than sitting in front of the TV every night after work. Even he eats. Soon he back home, he take a bowl of food and he sit in front of the TV, and he can sit there until midnight, nowhere else. If somebody come and encourage him to do something like volunteering or go to temple, listen to Dhamma talk, he say, please don't tell him anything like that. No interesting. But since I met him last year in October, he attend that retreat, he changed, completely changed. Now he like to sit in meditation, he like to attend the retreat, he like to go to temple, he cut off his cable, he left because he know how to moderate. He has the capacity of practicing. Before, he never think he has. So do not underestimate ourselves. We do have the capacity to practice. As long as we know how to recognize, realize. In the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha gave an example. There was a man who was drunk, and before his friend left, his friend put in his pocket some money at the edge of his shirt, but he never knew there was money, there was some valuable things in there. And that drunk man always think he was a very poor person. He walked on the street to beg, and one day suddenly he met his friend, and his friend surprised. Hey friend, do you remember on the day we met and we drink? after you drunk, I put some money, some jewelry in your shirt. Why don't you bring them out and use them?" So the friend realized and he took out and he have money to live. And the Buddha gave an example. He said, the Buddha said, same thing. You all have the capacity to practice exactly like the Buddha. You also have the wisdom, the insight to practice, to live happy, to live peacefully. How come you always like a beggar, running around, beg for love, beg for happiness? Happiness is deep in you. Soon you go back to yourself and you can recognize it right away. In Vietnamese, we have a romantic song. Some of the words, they are very funny. Who able to give me love? That's one of the sentences. Ai cho tôi tình yêu? Whoever, who able to give me some love? I need some love. Please give me. We do not love ourselves, then how can we beg for others' love? So the first thing we need to cultivate is our insight, our understanding. Do you know that soon when we cultivate the understanding, the people surround us also very happy? We also can offer them joy and happiness because of our understanding. Sometimes we deal with someone who have no understanding, we also very, very suffer, very uncomfortable. It is very happy that we can work, that we can live together with someone who have loving kindness and understanding. The second thing we cultivate is our loving kindness. Why the Buddha used the word cultivate? Sometimes we think we don't have it. That's why we need to cultivate. Sometimes we already have, but we do not know how to cultivate time to work on it. The loving kindness is something very neat for life. If we do anything in this life without love, things cannot be done well, successfully, and completely. And people can feel. If you cook with love, you will realize your cooking is taste different than you cook with hate. If you cook with angry, your loved one can still eat, but they can realize the eating is not as tasty as usual. Anything you do for people with all your heart, with all your love, things will be different. When you have love, you know how to be flexible. You know how to behave. You know how to use the flexibility into our daily behavior, daily dealing with people. There was a monk who practicing the Buddha's recitation close to the river. And suddenly he saw a young lady walk slowly into the river, look like she suicide, she tried to kill herself. And the young monk throw the prayer bead. And the monk yelled, "Snake! That's a snake!" The girl, so scared, and she tried to run very fast to the monk. And after that, the monk used the branch to take his prayer beads back. And the girl realized that is not the snake, that is the prayer beads of this monk. And she blamed, "You are the monk, why you lie? Why you lie to me?" He said, I don't mean to lie, but I want to save you. But unfortunately, I don't know how to swim. So the only way that I can rescue you, I can save you, is throw this prayer bead where you almost die and use the snake as the draft to help you. But young lady, if you really want to die, why you scare about the snake? So he know exactly that young lady does not want to die. Just because she so suffer, she thinks she cannot survive, she thinks she cannot continue to live. That's why she find the silly way. But the monk, with all his compassionate and with his insight, with his wisdom, he find a way to help this lady. He find a way to rescue, to save, and to open, to teach this young lady. And he said, young lady, your previous life died. Your previous suffer died. Now you owe me because I saved you. So you remember your body belonged to me. So now I don't give you the permission to die. You have to live happily and healthily. Why you need to use this body? Instead of killing yourself, why don't you use this body to do something else, more meaningful, to help others, for the sake of others? So what can make this monk give this kind of short and powerful lecture? His loving kindness and his understanding, his insight, his wisdom. You can see that once we have a deep love in us, we can use many ways to help others. Sometimes look like we break the rule, we lie. But actually, this lying is not with a bad purpose. We know what we do. Sometimes we need to teach our children a very straightforward way. But everything comes from the love. Everything comes from the understanding. We have the wisdom, we have the compassionate. But in us, we have a very beautiful practice of humble respect. Why we do this? Because we respect everybody. We respect all kind of life. Every single life is beautiful and needs to be respected. And because you know how to protect this life, that's why we also need to use our mindfulness into our daily consuming. Sometimes we consume many things that never protect this planet, this world. I always remind young people about their daily consuming. Because they think they have money, they think everything is available, and they forgot about protecting the environment. Sometimes we all know everything like that, but life, we need to remind each other, because sometimes we forgot. So when you come to Friday like this, you don't come for lecturing. But we are coming together, we sit together, and we try to remind something that is good, that is better, that can bring joy and happiness for both. So this is the reminding. This is not a lecturing. This is a reminding. We spend time together to sit, practicing sitting together, practicing walking mindfully together, and we also reminding each of us some of the mindful story, mindful teachings that we can refresh ourselves, and we can bring the teachings deeply into our daily life. I don't mean to come here to lecture. I only wish that I can come here with all of you each Friday so we can spend time together as a practitioners. We don't come here as a philosopher, but we are a practitioner. You also don't come here because with my degree, but you all come here with the practice. And the fourth thing we can cultivate into our daily life and we can ornament for ourselves is the improving to be humble, patient, and modest. This afternoon there was a young lady who came and see me. She asked me to choose a good day for her to move in her new house. And before she leaves, she said, "Thai, do you have any prayers? Or do you advise, can you advise me what to do, how to offer, so to make me and my husband less argue, because we argument almost every week?" And I told her, "There's nothing you can do. There's no prayer to help you and your husband do less argument, less fighting. This kind of work need both of you to work together. When your husband is angry, you should not talk. You should keep quiet and let him explode his fire. You cannot be the gasoline, you must be the water in order to shut off his flame. Can you imagine if he was the fire and you are the gasoline and you both will burn your family? Not only you burn the house, but you burn your family. Even the monk came to bless the house. It's just only the house. But the family, the home, need to be built, need to be blessed by both of you. The kids, your children, need to be blessed by both of you, not us. And none of the prayers that you can do for both of you to get, you know, let's argue." And I told her, "Every day you spend 5 minutes, quiet your mind, calm your body, calm your mind. And when you can relax like this, you can calm like this, you have more power, more energy to accept when your husband is angry. And you know how to deal with him, you know how to find the right word to speak with him in that moment. Do you know she is bargaining with me?" She said, "5 minutes only? That means only 5 minutes I can do this?" You know, 5 minutes is nothing. 5 minutes are nothing. But we're willing to do something else. We may sit in front of the TV to watch the whole movie for 90 minutes or even more. But, you know, spend 5 minutes to 10 minutes to calm our mind, to calm our body. We feel so long. And then we always expect Jesus, God, Buddha to bless us. We are busy to bless. Jesus, God, Buddha, busy to bless, but we're busy for something else. We don't spend time to do something called blessing ourselves. Because we have the habit. Everything, the monk will take care. Our priest will take care for us. So let's go ahead and do something else. But in Buddhist learning and practice, or not only the monk, but we need every one of us, we need to practice. There was a lady who called me and said, "Thai, I'm practicing diligently now." I said, "Good, keep up." And she said, "Oh, I don't know how long I can keep this practice." And you know what I said? I said, "When you feel lazy, this is the way to think. Every time, if I still breathe, I need to practice. Every single breath I still make, in and out, and this is the time for me to practice. Every day I need food for my body, then this is the day for me to practice. Think about that. Keep you move up. Keep you moving forward. If I need the food for my body, then don't forget, we also need the food for the mind. That's it. We still breathe, we still practice. Because life always changes. The suffer, the problems can come to us anytime. No expectation, no warning. Example, if we look at the lady, we can tell if she is pregnant and we know when is her due date. But death never tell. We cannot tell when we die. A baby, we know when is the baby will be delivered. What is the due date for the baby? But we cannot tell when is the last minute for each of us. So a minute we have, a minute to practice. And what do we need to practice? We need to cultivate our understanding, our love, our respect, our humble, to ornament our life, to ornament ourselves, not only the makeup. I remember one of the precepts of a young novice should learn: aware of the true beauty of the monk and the nun is not the makeup. The true beauty of the young monk and the young nun is the way we behave, how we walk, how we talk. How we walk, how we talk, how we sit. The truly beautiful of a person is the way we act, the way we behave, not the way we make up. The true things that we can ornament on our body to make us look more beautiful is the practicing, not only the jewelries. The jewelries can make us look bright, fashion, but will never make us look gentle and beautiful. The truly beautiful is when able we have the truth. The beauty, the goodness deeply in us. The word patience, in Vietnamese called nhẫn. Nhẫn means patience. Nhẫn means accept. So when the couple, they get married on their wedding day, they exchange the ring. But in Vietnamese, we don't call the ring. We don't call the wedding ring. But we call nhẫn. This is the ring of patience. So soon you put this on, you accept each other as a spouse, as a friend on the path. You both must accept each other exactly who they are. You not only love this person, you do not love this positive of this person, but you also love the negative of this person. You not only love the flower, but you also need to love also the garbage, because the garbage will help both of you to transform garbage into compost and form your gardening. Problems, difficulties can be transformed into flower, into learning, into understanding, into love. Because we are our truly work for each day is our transformation, our cultivating. No transformation, no change, no fix, we do not look newer. A very old house we need to renovate. The old habit we need to transform. So we cannot say, that's who am I. If you love me, you have to accept me. Yes, somebody will open their heart and accept us. But how about us? We don't need to change? No, we need to change. We need to transform another, because happiness cannot build by one person. Happiness must build by both. So this person try to accept us, we need to try to change ourselves in order to make this person more happy. And that is called love. They love us, that's why they try to take us as who we are. But if we love them, we love that person, we need to change to make us more newer, to make us differently, look different in order to help them to survive. We need a mirror to reflect every day. What is the mirror? The mirror of mindfulness. Is this the right way for me to do? Is this kind of thing will make my loved one happy, especially my wife or my husband and my children? On Monday, I conduct the ceremony to take refuge and the transmitting of the 5 mindfulness trainings to the teenager. And I talked to the teenagers and I said, if you love your mom, if you love your mom, if you appreciate her work, if you feel that you owe from her, you need to gratitude her. And the only way that you can do is live your life meaningful. Use your body, use your life, use your future well. That is the only way to pay respect to your parents. Do not damage your future. Do not damage your life. Your parents bring you to life, brought you to life, put a lot of effort to feed you, so now you're this tall, this big. And what can you do to pay them back? Respect your life. Keep your life. Keep your future. We are not allowed to damage our body, our life. Because that can be named as the betraying to our ancestor. And soon we are not well, we are unable to deliver, we are unable to transmit the healthy, the happiness to our next generation. We should remember that we are the continuation of our ancestor. And our future generation are the continuation of us. Generations to generations must be lived in a healthy way. And the healthy living is the only way to protect the environment, the atmosphere. Thank you for your listening. Thank you for your attention. I hope you enjoy your warm weekend. I would like to announce that our last Friday will be 21st of July, and then we will have break. But please make your day at Westlock Meditation Center on July 28th. If you are unable to get there, please gather here at around 4:30 to 4:45, we will carpool to Westlock at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock, we register, and 7 o'clock, we have orientation, and we have the rest of the night and the rest of Sunday, July 29th, together. I hope you can arrange your time and be with the Sangha. And we will have about 1 month break in August. We'll come back in September. So I hope that you are aware of the dates that I just mentioned. Our sister Grace will send out another email with all the detailed dates, and so we all can follow the schedule. And I hope we have a good summer mindfulness day instead of 3 days. Now we need to do some auction. There's only 1 day left. So please arrange your time and be with the Sangha. Thank you. Thank you.